Good evening. Let's go. An auspicious start. Good evening. Let's call to order the Heritage Preservation Commission of November 5th, 2025 at 7 p.m. Thank you. The city does not tolerate disruptive behavior in our meetings. Sunnyvale prides itself on the rich diversity of our residents. We are committed to creating a culture of belonging where members of our diverse community feel included, safe, and respected. This Heritage Preservation Commission meeting is considered a limited public forum, which means the commission can regulate the time, place, and manner of speech. Speaker comments must be limited to the agenda item being considered by the commission for consent calendar or public hearing items. Speaker comments during oral communications must be limited to matters within the commission's authority, generally referred to as within the commission's subject matter jurisdiction. If a speaker's comments are not related to an agenda item, the presiding officer will rule the speaker out of order. The speaker will not be ruled out of order because of a disagreement with the content of their speech. Location and online meeting details are available on the Heritage Commission's agenda. Use the show captions button to view captions on Zoom. Comments on matters not on the agenda must be submitted prior to the time I call the item for oral communications. Comments on agenda items must be submitted prior to the time I close the public hearing on the agenda item. Speakers are requested to keep their comments to the time period set for public comments for the agenda item, which will be strictly enforced. Guidelines are posted on the city's website and on the Heritage Preservation Commission's meeting agenda. Please join me in a salute to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Recording officer, may we please have the roll call, please?
Sure, Chair. Chair Garrett?
Here.
Vice Chair Sharma?
Here.
Commissioner Johnson? Commissioner McManus?
Here.
Commissioner Rawal?
Here.
And Commissioner Safair? Chair, we got an email notice from Commissioner Rajkumar of her planned absence, so the roll call is 6-0-6-1. With Commissioner Rajkumar absent.
Thank you. This is now the public's opportunity to address the commission on topics not listed on tonight's agenda. This section is limited to 15 minutes and may be extended or continued after the public hearing's general business section of the meeting. Individuals may only speak once during oral communications. This Heritage Preservation Commission meeting is a limited public forum, and the commission can regulate the time, place, and manner of speech. Speaker comments during oral communications must be limited to matters within the commission's authority, which is known as the commission's subject matter jurisdiction. If a speaker's comments are outside the commission's subject matter jurisdiction, the presiding officer will rule the speaker out of order. This allows the commission to conduct its business in a reasonably efficient manner and protects the rights of other speakers. A speaker will not be ruled out of order because of a disagreement with the content of their speech. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer, raise your digital hand now, or dial *9 on a telephone to indicate you wish to speak. I will call on members of the public participating in person first, followed by remote participants. Speakers will have 3 minutes to speak. Do we have any speaker cards?
We do not, Chair, and there are no attendees online as well.
Thank you. Since we do not have any speakers here or any online, I will now go ahead and close the oral communications portion of this. We'll move on to the consent calendar, which includes approving the Heritage Preservation Commission meeting minutes from October. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer, raise your digital hand now, or dial *9 on the telephone to indicate you wish to speak. I will call on members of the public participating in person first, followed by remote participants. Speakers will have 3 minutes to speak. Do we have any speaker cards on this?
We do not, Chair. Nor online.
Okay. So I will close public comment on this, and I will now ask for a motion from my colleagues to approve the meeting minutes from last month.
I approve the minutes from last month.
My second.
Can we...
If there's no comment, I could go ahead and commence with the vote, Chair. Let's go with Commissioner Safair. Commissioner Wawal?
Yes.
Commissioner McManus?
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Sharma?
Aye.
And Chair Garrett?
Aye.
Chair, the vote has passed with 6-0. A 6-0 with Commissioner Rajkumar absent. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now move on to the public hearings of general business. Our first item is 25-1008, preliminary direction on the study to update the historical context statement to include historical contributions made by Asian Americans and other minority groups. Is there a staff report?
Yes, we do have a staff report. Can you hear me okay?
Wait for it to go green.
Slow test one. Okay, thank you. Sorry about the technical difficulties.
Thank you.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Bonnie Filipovich, and I'm here with Cindy Hom, Associate Planner. I'm also here with Architectural Resources Group staff, Sarah Hahn and Stacy Farr. And the four of us are here together today to present the staff report to you, which is to elicit your feedback on the study issue CDD 1904, which is to update the historical context statement to include contributions from Asian Americans and other minority groups. To provide you a little bit of background on the historical context statement, the City Council adopted it in 2012. The document itself provides a framework for setting goals, policies, and action statements that direct the city's heritage preservation program. It also features different aspects of Sunnyvale's historical development, including land use patterns, important events, and architecture. And it also highlights notable individuals and prominent groups that contributed to Sunnyvale's history. In 2018, this commission sponsored CDD 1904, the study issue, to update the statement to include more information to recognize the contributions from Asian Americans and other minority groups. And following that, in 2023, the City Council ranked the item for study and appropriated a $50,000 budget supplement to fund a consultant to lead the study. Since 2023, staff have been working to secure a consultant. We went out for bid and followed an informal request for a proposals process where we successfully secured Architectural Resources Group, ARG, to lead our study. And that brings us here today where we want to discuss all of the prep work that we've done behind the scenes to prepare the information to get your feedback. We have a document, Attachment 3, which details our proposed research approach, a time frame for the study, an outline for the content and the resources that we propose using. And these are the four topics that we'd like your feedback on. At the end of ARG's slide presentation, which will follow my remarks, they'll have a slide with some more pointed questions for you. And what we'd like to do at the end, if it works, we'd like to first get your general comments and feedback. And once we're done with that discussion, if that doesn't fully inform the pointed questions that we have, then we'll move back to the specific questions that we have planned for you that we hope will better shape and focus the study. So with that, I'd like to pass it along to Sarah and Stacy for their presentation. Thank you.
Okay, it works. All right. Good evening, commissioners. I am Sarah Hahn, architectural historian with Architectural Resources Group. And as Bonnie has said, we are here to introduce ourselves and our initial work on this study issue, CDD 1904. I will just give a brief overview here, an introduction, and then hand it over to my colleague, Stacey Farr, who will go through the outline and approach with you, and then we can have the discussion that Bonnie mentioned about questions and feedback. So we have been here before. I am working on finalizing the tech innovation study with George and Momo. So we've been here visiting you before. But ARG, Okay, so agenda-wise, introductions, project background and goals, and then Stacey will go through the scope, timeline, outline, and the questions and next steps. And ARG was founded in 1980. We have offices in LA, San Francisco, and Portland. We have several architectural historians and preservation planners. We all, Stacey and I both, as architectural historians, meet the Secretary of the Interior's professional qualification standards for architectural history. So we are qualified to do the work. and we do a lot of different project types, including historic context statement work like we've done for the city of Sunnyvale. As far as project background, Bonnie covered most of this, but just that you've identified the need for this context statement update in 2018, approved the budget in 2023, and then we came on, I think, in 2024 is when we get started. And as far as project goals, the intent of this effort is to develop an updated context statement with comprehensive information on the contributions of Asian Americans and other minorities in Sunnyvale, to develop clear eligibility criteria to help identify historically significant properties, to identify five local register eligible properties associated with Asian Americans and other minorities, and to produce a usable document that can be referenced by the city and the general public. And with that, I'll hand it over to Stacey.
Thank you, Sarah. Good evening, commissioners. As Sarah said, my name is Stacey Farr. I'm an architectural historian and a preservation planner. I've been with ARG for about 6 years, and I've been doing this kind of work in the Bay Area about 15 years now. So at the beginning, I will say, so our approach to scope, the context update is to address the contributions of Asian Americans and other minorities. And so how shall we really define Asian Americans and other minority groups? It's very open-ended, and we thought about it, and we kind of reviewed how other cities are approaching this, best practices, and we felt that the best solution here, or the best approach here, would be to focus primarily on racial and ethnic groups that made these under-recognized contributions in spite of local, state, or federal laws that prohibited them from having full participation in civic society. So these are people who were subject to laws that prohibited them from fully living their lives in equality to other citizens. So examples of this, we have the Chinese Exclusion Act, Japanese American incarceration during World War II, the Bracero program during and after World War II, that sort of limited Latino and Hispanic contribution, like they weren't able to get other jobs, et cetera, et cetera. Racially restrictive covenants that restricted certain racial and ethnic backgrounds from buying in certain new housing developments after the war. So these are the kind of overview of the kinds of things that we know about so far that are gonna be impacting what kind of groups we study primarily for the context statement. So far our understanding is that this would include Chinese Americans, Japanese Americans, Filipinos, Filipino-Americans, Portuguese, African-American, Hispanic, Latino communities. But these groups may expand as we get into our research. So we do understand that the city also kind of seeks to identify and recognize contributions of other national and ethnic groups in the city that maybe did not face the same strict barriers to inclusion. And we are feeling like a secondary research effort that will probably be achieved through kind of at the same time or alongside the research we do to address sort of high-level familiarity with groups like Swedish settlers, Yugoslavian community, people who came here with a strong national or ethnic identity, didn't really face the same barriers, but did make contributions that have not really been recognized to the city's history. So those are our kind of, we have the primary bulk of our research and then these others kind of alongside research that we know we're going to pick up and we don't want to discard or leave aside. We want to include it, but it'll be included sort of in a more high level narrative vignette form rather than really digging in. So those are our main scope approaches. In terms of a time frame, you know, to be really effective, a context statement needs to have a bounded time frame to adequately kind of capture the contributions of Asian Americans and other minorities, but to really be able to dig into that rather than have it be super open-ended. So our approach so far would be to start the context update in 1850 and then end it in 1990 when the H-1B visa program really initiated a major wave of demographic change in Sunnyvale. So we will include some sort of high-level information about after 1990, but the bulk of our effort is going to be focused on 1850 to 1990. And so, you know, Asian Americans and other minority numbers like really changed after 1990. And so Sunnyvale kind of became like a minority community. So why did we decide to stop in 1990? We're really following the guidelines that are set up for the California Register of Historic Resources that kind of says, you know, a scholarly perspective has to exist for you to really do an effective context statement. And in our preliminary research, we just felt like that was just too recent in the past for there to really be like a scholarly perspective that we could draw from. We'd have to be developing the scholarly perspective, which is like a whole new project. So like I said, we are going to include information about after 1990, but the bulk of the focus will be before 1990. Okay. So I've included sort of the higher point outlines of our outline for our context statement. And I kind of thought I would just maybe walk through and pull out, develop a little bit further for you some of the components of what are in these kind of sub points. So you know, the context, like all context statements, starts with a lot of front matter, like local regulatory framework, introduction. Like I said, we're going to start in 1850, and we're going to work on figuring out the patterns of minority settlement in Sunnyvale and how they kind of reflect a global and a regional context. You know, there are a lot of push factors for immigration. There are a lot of pull factors for immigration. We're going to sort of look into how chains of migration, like regional patterns of connections between San Francisco, San Jose, and the Sunnyvale community in between. Some of the sub points in there would sort of include like, you know, early economic development, laborers working on farms, working in canning, you know, segregated conditions, where were these people able to live? Did they form community? Like did they form communities, but where were the communities that they formed during this time that we are kind of really truly lost to the past because they were very ephemeral. We're also going to look into sort of stuff like living in a segregated world at that time. You know, where did these children go to school? Where did people receive medical care? Things like that. So these are the kinds of topics that we're going to be looking into through each of the time periods that we're addressing in the context update. Yeah, like I said, the community formation is a very big part of this context. Like, these people were here, but how did they thrive against the sort of limitations that I already mentioned that were put on them for many different ways? And so, you know, we have how our family formations after laws changed. We have specific instances of early property owners, early business owners from this era, this sort of 1910 era. So we're going to do research about that. Again, segregated and integrated conditions, like how did, you know, where were people going to school? Where were they receiving all their medical care, stuff like that? We have the major rupture of World War II, which impacted Sunnyvale in a million different ways and really impacted the Japanese American community. We are intending to sort of leverage existing oral histories from Japanese Americans who were incarcerated during this period. We also intend to potentially interview additional people who have family memories of this experience. And then we are also going to broaden our scope for oral histories. I think the original intent was to focus on the Japanese American period of incarceration, but some of that stuff is already, there hasn't been big effort to do oral history for that population. And so I think we discussed with staff maybe broadening that stuff out using existing oral histories that we could access and then broadening the scope of our oral history component of this project. And then after World War II, you know, we have Japanese and Japanese American return. We want to get into the experience of return, if they were able to get back on their land, get back their property, integrate into the community. Yeah, so that's kind of post-war period and includes that kind of stuff. And agricultural production continued. It was kind of a big period of agricultural production actually for Asian and Asian American farm owners. There's definitely the shift to the electronics industry. We try to tease out how minority Asian American and other minority residents of Sunnyvale got into the electronics industry, and there's not really been a lot of writing about that. I think it's really interesting, and so we're looking into that. Housing is a big topic from this era, the post-war housing boom, and how Asian Americans, other minorities were or were not able to take advantage of that new phase in the city's history. And then we have Sunnyvale at the turn of the 21st century, and like I said, that would basically be a big focus on the introduction of the H-1B visa and some coming shifts for the city's minority populations. And then all context statements have a lot of stuff at the end, including development of eligibility criteria, associated property types, or evaluation criteria, associated property types, the recommendation of 5 eligible local landmarks, and a conclusion. So that's a little bit more on the outline. Comes next. So this is where we want to move into sort of focusing the study with your questions, our questions to you, your questions to us, any recommendations that we have for you, you have for us. It could be a conversation. These are the questions that we are currently working with. Should the identification of potential resources allow for flexibility and physical integrity? This usually, when you say something is an eligible resource, it's in good shape, it looks historic. However, a lot of properties that are associated with minority, Asian American, other minority groups, they haven't benefited from financial investment. They haven't, you know, or they're completely gone. You know, they're often have a lower integrity, a physical integrity. They don't look as good or convey their historicity as well as fancy Victorian houses do. And so, you know, we want to think about, will we allow for some flexibility and physical integrity for these types of resources in Sunnyvale? So the second question we are thinking about is, if a property has been completely demolished, if it's totally gone, but it's the space where something happens, a space where somebody had a farm for 100 years, you know, like, are there opportunities to recognize that site's importance? How would the city like to approach resources like that, or spaces where historically significant things happen that are just no longer readable? How do we address those things? This is the same question again. Really, how can the city recognize contributions when there's no physical site? It's not the same question. How can the city recognize the important social or historical contributions of these Asian Americans and other minority groups when there's no actual physical site or building that can be historically designated? And then, you know, does the HPC have feedback on the scope or the timeline or the themes that we have already outlined? Okay, and I think I have one more slide. So these are our next steps after we have our conversation tonight. We have a community meeting, which is currently scheduled for December, and we're working on a plan for effective outreach for that meeting because this is the kind of context statement. They're all important to have community input, but this one feels very important to have community input. We will be working through the holidays on the administrative draft of the context update, and we plan to have a draft in March of the context update. And that will include the context, the associated property types, the evaluative criteria, the list of preliminary list of properties that may be eligible for listing. And then we would go on to public hearings again with the HPC and City Council. Okay, so this is our thank you slide. And we are now very interested to hear any feedback you might have or questions we can answer between me and Sarah and the staff. We can handle it.
Hi. Thank you for that presentation. Sure. It was wonderful. I appreciate it. And I'm looking at I have lots of questions as a Sunnyvale resident, but I also have questions as a council member, mm-hmm. not a council member, but as a commissioner here. So just clarification, what's your work product out of this particular event? Is it just the update to the...
It is
to the existing standard.
Maybe Cindy can.
Hi, this is Cindy. Yes, it would be an update to the historical context statement.
Okay, great. I'm going to get yelled at here maybe, but I'd like to give staff a question for future to help address this issue. I really was sensitive to your comment about places that don't exist anymore, and there's sort of non-corporeal places we need to do that. And Sunnyvale is in the midst of hopefully getting a new library built. And I would like staff to investigate the question of whether or not the library could put aside a place for a historical notes monument, right? Sort of a little park or a little place that we could put up plaques. This is, you know, something from Sunnyvale's history because the library is the repository of history, right? And we could do, it would give us a place as the commission to say, great, we want to honor that. We want to remember it. This is where we'll put it because we'll get the foot traffic there. And I think it'll be a great way to honor these kinds of things. But that's a question for staff. The other thing was, you know, the old phrase, history is written by the winners. Mm-hmm. And, one of the things that has become embarrassingly obvious to me in this time, thanks to the world, is that we as a country have done a great disservice in writing some of our histories and not reflecting the view of the person who the history is about. And so I would be interested in knowing from your resources, did you take oral histories from Sunnyvale residents, perhaps white residents that were angry with the Japanese coming back, to find out how Sunnyvale did, right? Where were the learnings that we could take away as a community about reintegrating into our community people that we formerly, you know, everyone in the United States, right, was pretty lined up against the Japanese and they had a hard time. So, and a good friend of mine is Chinese, and his family hated the Japanese for an entirely different reason, but mm-hmm. similar in World War II. So I just, in terms of feedback for the scope, timeline, and themes, my feedback would be, I would be appreciative if we also included sort of from the view of people who may have not have been receptive to it, but you know, sort of get the whole picture, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't want it to feel like the history is very one-sided.
Yeah.
We all smiled and they came back and moved back into their houses. I don't think that happened. So, okay.
Yeah, I think that's a really good comment. And I definitely think that sometimes we pat ourselves on the back for doing these context statements now, these context statement updates now, without kind of addressing, like you're saying, the true difficulties and the role that the racism, you know, like we kind of leave this stuff out because we're like, oh, we're gonna write about the history of people who didn't get written about in the past, and like you said, we often leave out this like perspective. So I appreciate that comment, and it is it's within our framework to discuss kind of the we intend to use a lot of oral histories, like I mentioned, and then also we do have like a, I don't have my list with me, but we have a list of kind of community groups that we are gonna reach out to, like in San Jose and all over the peninsula, that will have more like firsthand accounts of that experience, or we're hoping to find firsthand accounts of what the experience was like, at the time, to the people who was having to. So,
great. Thank you. That was mine. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner McManus. Commissioner Sofair, you were next.
Yeah. So, first off, I think that the cutoff in 1990 makes perfect sense, and I'm glad that there is a concrete sort of time span, and that the reasons for why that was chosen are, I think, quite sensible. I was wondering if the scope includes minority groups that aren't specifically ethnic groups, like minority religious groups or the queer community.
Yeah.
I was born after the period of sort of the queer communities like forged in fire phase, but I know that PFLAG has a chapter for San Jose and the peninsula, mm-hmm. Which would be a resource if that's something that's within scope, and if there still is anything of that heritage in Sunnyvale.
This is another very good question that I think that we don't totally have a settled answer, or I don't have a settled answer on this question. I mean, we developed an outline that does not include religious and queer minority communities, and have been through the process of reviewing that with the city. But I don't exactly know how to address the fact that this scope doesn't really include room for that broader definition of minority residents. So does anybody else have anything to say on this topic? I think it's a good question, but it's outside of what we have been considering so far for this context update. So
then I'm glad I brought it up.
Yeah.
It is for the ethnic minorities, so we have to think about that is a smaller focus than all the other things that would be really nice to include somewhere, but right. For this, it's just talking about ethnic.
That's the language that's in the scope, is right, ethnic and racial and ethnic minorities. So I obviously understand intersectionality, and I will be, making every effort to incorporate intersectionality into how I write about this and how we write about it. But currently that's where we're at to answer that question.
I can interject and just provide some information. I think that by including some of these ethnic groups, they naturally do celebrate some other religions. It won't be touched on. But there will be that element to it. And it's something that we can look at in the future. Maybe it's a recommendation at the end of the text, that it's something that we can look at. Maybe perhaps the next time that we update the statement. But that's something that we could keep in mind. But right now it is, like you mentioned, it is focused just on the various ethnic groups, particularly the Asian Americans.
Thank you. Vice Chair, you had a comment?
Yes. Thank you for the presentation. It was excellent. I think this conversation is very prescient, given what's happening at the national level around minorities. So I'm very appreciative as a resident and as a commissioner for this discussion today. I feel very seen in Sunnyvale versus other areas that I've lived in before. as an Asian American, if I could say. The one question I did have, though, I see that you've mentioned that the timeline scope covers 1950 and the arrival of H-1Bs and their contribution to technology. However, within the ethnic groups, I didn't hear mention of Indo-Americans in terms of their contributions, which is a huge contribution in this area. So my comment and recommendation would be to definitely include that that minority group in your research. I don't know if we've had, and again, I'm not an expert on this, as you know, visible or known, you know, roadblocks as the other ethnic groups, but I think it's worth mentioning, and perhaps you may find some in your conversations with members of that community.
Can you clarify for me, when you say Indo-American, is this other, another way to say that is South Asian?
South Asian Americans, yes, so the South, you know, India, Pakistan, that general region would be nice to be included. The other question I have is some of the questions that you mentioned at the end, if we can go back to that slide, the particular questions that you had asked of us.
In the cloud. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Sorry.
There we go.
Yep.
So for some of these questions in particular about identification of potential resources and physical integrity, I'm curious to see what have other cities done in our area? Do we have a model? Does San Jose have a model for example, for Mexican Americans that we can somehow follow a template so we're not recreating the wheel in some instances?
Yeah.
I'm just more curious about that. So in your research, if you could find some models, whether it be locally, statewide, or internet or nationally that we can follow, that would also help us in this endeavor.
Yeah.
And I do have one more question, but I'll be mindful of other commissioners. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. Since I have the days. The other comment I have is, and I mentioned this when we talked about technological resources, that was a different conversation, is somehow to include these learnings as part of the school curriculum. I'm not sure how that's possible from a governmental perspective, but I think teaching the next generation is where we want to see this information go. Yeah. And if it's part of the curriculum, then we know that it's the information's being passed on, particularly since history is often taught from one perspective.
Sure.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Commissioner Johnson. There you go.
Okay. Thank you very much. Great presentation. I too wanted to make sure when you said Asian Americans, but you were really just saying Chinese and Japanese, and I don't even know up to 1990, were there significant impacts from South Asia at that time? There certainly were after. But if we're stopping at 1990, I don't know. I need a history lesson. So, I have another gig at the Historical Society, and I just ran across a story the other day about a Chinese man who, first thing he did after his baby was born, was go out and buy property in his baby boy's name, which was so cool. So this was a Sunnyvale resident, and it was just stories like that. And also, maybe we save the good history or something, but from the Historical Society perspective, it seems like people were really nice in Sunnyvale. I mean, there was this well-known family, the Kirkish family, and they took care of the Japanese family's farm and make sure everything helped, and brought them back home and helped them get started, and neighbors would all help. And there's so many stories like that. And my neighbor across the street, who's in his 90s, his dad was a, he was the manager of one of the large apricot ranch. And he said in his classroom, there were kids from every country. And everybody, I mean, that's how you grew up. Everybody got along. They played with each other. And so maybe we had a better, got a better start at working with a lot of groups of people that might be considered minorities, because, you know, it's kind of inherent in what agriculture kind of did. Okay, sorry about that. and regarding the Japanese Americans in turn, there, I think, as far as I know, there's only one left in Sunnyvale, and she's rather difficult to communicate with at this point. But if you do need to, you could call the Historical Society, and they'll get you through to where you would need to.
Oh, but, I'm going to be calling the Historical Society. Don't you worry.
Okay. Okay.
We will get to know each other. But thank okay. you. Thank you for that information.
And let me see. I guess that's it. Thank you very much.
Sure. Can I just make a brief reply to your comments? I appreciate the information that you shared and the stories that you know about the town. And I do want to say that's part of why we put together sort of a rubric for how we are going to evaluate or investigate the history of minority residents, is that regardless of the good stories that we do have where this did take place and there was a lot of inter-ethnic and interracial interaction, these minority residents were existing under a legal framework that prohibited them from participating in full society during that time. And so as the first commissioner, whose name I can't read from here because I didn't bring my glasses, mentioned, I want to make sure that our context is unearthing and honoring the positive stories that happened in Sunnyvale. And I also want to make sure that we understand that these stories took place during a time of a reduction in civil rights, a lack of civil rights for many, many residents that will be sort of addressed in the context update. So thank you for the information, and I will see you at the Historical Society for sure.
My goal here is just that we learn from the past, right?
Sure.
And papering over things that we did that were not comfortable for us today is something that doesn't help us learn.
That's it.
That's really my concern. Mm-hmm.
That's how you get the context statement that we already have, which doesn't include a lot of information, right? Yeah, this is why we work on the updates.
I have minor comments as well. So I know we are cutting off at 1990, and I agree with her as well that, you know, in 1992, 2000, and right now, Indo-American or Indian Peninsula has a lot of influence in Bay Area and the Silicon Valley as well. It would be nice if we can consider till the century and till 2000, so that you can include that minority group in the study as well. And then you can say this is a story of the whole century.
Thank you. We have thought about that, and I want to include a framework at the end of our context statement for approaching an understanding of that history once it has become a little bit more history. It is part of the now story of Sunnyvale, and our context update is trying to unearth the past story of Sunnyvale. And you know, we are extending to 1990, which is very, very recent past, and we usually stop 50 years in the past, which we don't think captures enough of Sunnyvale's history. So we are very, we recommend moving it to 1990 into the recent past. But beyond that, I just, based on sort of the research that we did to prepare our outline, to really dig into the way we want to tell the story, it just felt like there wasn't, that's the now, that is the now of Sunnyvale, right? And again, we definitely want to include a framework at the end for looking into that history, sort of in the next, maybe the next revision that the town does. So that's where we're at right now with that question. So thank you for your comment, though.
Yeah. And to that point and the framework that you're talking about, does it make sense to maybe make a recommendation in that framework mm-hmm. materials that, you know, this thing is updated every 10 years on a regular basis so that mm-hmm. you actually have a rolling, you know, a historical timeline. And that also gives the city a little bit of guidance that, like, you know, reevaluate this
yeah.
every 10 years. Commissioner Sofair, you had a comment?
On the matter of property that is lacking in physical integrity, demolished, or doesn't have a physical property representing the contribution to begin with, I have sort of two related questions for you or for staff. I don't know who would know better about this. And one of them is, the first one is, does the city of Sunnyvale already sort of tackle this question in a systematic way in the registry or in related work that the city has undertaken? And if the answer to that is no, will the output of this, of the revised context statement, include a framework for applying the answers to those questions more generally to obviously what is very close to our hearts as the Heritage Preservation Commission?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to step away. I don't.
So currently we do have a list of heritage resources. We do have a code section that speaks to heritage resource preservation and any modifications to those resources. But for the purpose of this study, it's mainly trying to get your input on, I guess, just a criteria that we can utilize when we're evaluating these properties or features or structures that would be helpful.
Vice Chair, do you have a comment?
Yes, I want to piggyback off of Commissioner Rowell's comment about including those last 10 years. I agree with your assessment that we should stop at 1990. I did see, you know, you make mention of the inclusion of the H-1B migration and the population boom that happened at that time to prepare for Y2K. I do think that footnote, though, is very important given our current kind of environment around mm-hmm. immigration, mm-hmm. Just more of like disseminating information based on fact and research, as opposed to, you know, information that you find on WhatsApp or whatever groups mm-hmm. online, mm-hmm. That this is coming from a place of authority. I do feel that's important, given all the misinformation that we have out there. The other question I have is sort of how does the feedback loop happen once you've done your research? Is that the presentation in March that you're talking about? That's the first part of my question. The second is, how is this information going to be disseminated to the citizens of Sunnyvale? I really would like to get this, from my perspective, somehow published as broadly as possible and not just a hyperlink on mm-hmm. a website. So I was just interested in your thoughts regarding those mm-hmm. two questions. Thank you.
So to your first point, I want to sort of clarify. So you are, I agree with what you're saying, and I think it's going to be part of what we write about. But I think what you're saying is you want there to be clear and well-researched information about the framework of immigration and how the reason that the H-1B visa passed and how it influenced. Okay.
Precisely, Sarah. Thank you.
Got it. And then in terms of disseminating information, I mean, this is like so important. I mean, we put a lot of effort into writing these, and then they often are, I always feel like, oh, there, it's just going on the shelf. It's just going on the shelf. Like, and like you said, I forget who mentioned, like, the, with the sending it to the schools, like, you know, we're going to put together a very usable document. And, you know,
wonderful.
There's a way that it can be, I mean, this is, I'm a little bit off the cuff here right now, but I think like if you take out the beginning, the front matter, and you take out the end, the middle part is the part that people care about, the general public cares about. And I always feel like there's like got to be a good way to get that information into the hands of people, but then that's not my purview.
I mean, to that point, you know, as a Sunnyvale resident, we all get that mailer. Yeah, Horizon. What's the frequency on that, Mayor? Three times a year. So, I mean, it seems like there's probably room in something like that for maybe an executive summary of the findings, and then, you know, that there's the full report is the hyperlink online. But, you know, it's, at least as an initial matter, this is something that every Sunnyvale resident gets. So,
Sarah, I'll also say that though it's not in the scope for this project, we do have an educational component in the tech study that, you know, once developed could be used as a model for something like that. And Momo and I were just talking about, you know, ways that it could be disseminated to schools or local interest groups. So it's not in the current scope, but we could use that as a model for something like this in the future.
So to go back to the couple of questions that you had for us on focusing the study, the first two in particular, personally, I would feel that, you know, I think we've talked about this sort of thing with like the tech study that, you know, there are buildings maybe of not historical significance, but like they are the places of historical significance. And so having some marker of that importance, I think is appropriate. And then, you know, flexibility as to the physical integrity. I think, again, it's kind of the same thing. You know, it's like marking that something important is here, but if the structure itself has little integrity, then there's maybe not a lot of a reason to landmark that specific structure. And, you know, I would certainly welcome comments from the other commissioners on opinions on that. So
I think what we found when the technological study happened is once you designate a building or someone's home a technological resource, there's certain, I think, parameters legally that need to happen or designate them that makes it, you know, maybe difficult for the owner or they have to opt in. I think that part was going to be circled back after some discussion with city council, as I recall. So I'm also hesitant to recommend, you know, any type of designation of a historical nature if it interferes with future development of that area or forces the current owners to kind of, you know, do something that they're not comfortable with. I'm not sure what our parameters are, let's put it that way, of designating historical resources and what the outcome's going to be for the current owners.
That's a staff question, really, or better answered by staff.
I think, hi, Momo Ishijima, senior planner. I think with the tech innovations sites, I think there was a distinction between designation and recognition. And I think we're leaning towards recognition. But if the property owners were to want to have their properties designated, I think they can pursue that process. But I think at this time, we're going towards informing the property owners that these events happened and contributions happened in Sunnyvale and recognizing it into our final report and then give them the option to pursue designation if they want to.
Thank you, Momo. That was a good summary.
May I add one more comment to that? So in recognition also, many times what happens, like for city of Palo Alto, there people know where the Steve Jobs used to live and they had a lot of car traffic and walking traffic. So some people do not want to even recognize some of the property because they don't want unknown people to coming and taking a selfie or pictures outside their home or walking around their home as well. So something to consider as well. If and when we are publishing this list, I mean, you know, whether people are okay and public is not intruding in their privacy.
For the tech innovations projects, I think there's only one residence, and the rest are all industrial or former locations. But certainly with the project that's before you right now, there could be residential areas. So.
Commissioner Johnson, did you have a comment?
I was just thinking about the recognition versus designation. So how does the actual physical object fit into that? If you're being recognized, is there a plaque or something that goes with that that goes on your property or no?
It will be recognized in the final report. And also, as Sarah mentioned before, we're coming up with an opportunity to have an educational material. So they'll be recognized in there. I think the plaque is it's still under consideration. Yeah.
I wanted to circle back real quick to the scope. And, you know, you've talked a lot about, especially Japanese-American and Chinese-American, and we've alluded to this a little bit, but do you intend or expect in your research to kind of dig down to other, like, specific nationalities, or, you know, are you looking more at, you know, Japanese and Chinese because they are larger groups that, you know, there's a bigger impact in a bigger community to talk about?
It is our goal to go back and look at demographic information for the periods covered in the context statement and try to figure out who was here. You know, we have evidence of a transient Korean community that was here like before the turn of the century, small, and they were only here for 10 years. But, you know, I have literally been going through the census pages from like 1850, 1860, 1870. And like, you know, race is a fabrication, you know, it's a weird category. There's mostly just white people. It's all white people. Then there's like one Japanese person, you know, like I intend to really dig into that and see. I mean, I'm like, this name is a little bit weird. I'm going to just like really go on Ancestry and figure out if I can figure out where their grandparents were from. You know, like I have really been trying to dig down in it. And it's probably not a good idea for me scope wise to be doing this legwork. But I am so interested in this early period where these people who are here, they're not, you know, in some places the census literally it just kind of says like a Asian rooming house, and that's all the information you get. So you don't know how many people are in there. You don't know where they're from. You don't know, you know. So it's our intention to really dig in and try to figure out who was here. But, you know, so far the research I've done the early years, it really just says Chinese and Japanese people. There's a couple Hawaiian people who are probably Japanese people, you know, like there's very little nuance in the early stuff. So we are trying via a lot of granular legwork to figure out who was here from these communities. So
yeah, and you've also broken it down into kind of three distinct eras, you know, mm-hmm. So like 1850 to World War II, uh-huh. World War II, and then after to 1990. Do you expect that any of those eras will kind of take prominence in, you know, the statement that ends up being, I mean, I imagine the closer, there's just more resources, you know, right. And there's more information, but yeah. In terms of kind of what you expect the final report to have.
I don't know yet. This is something maybe that the writing of the report is going to reveal, but my hunch is, like you said, you know, I think the period before the turn of the 19th, before 1900 is going to be a little bit more of an overview. Or like I said, you know, I am going to try to get the specific information about who was here, but beyond that, it's going to be a little harder to pull that information out. And after the turn of the century, there's more photographs, there's more school, there's just more records. And so my guess is that it will be after the turn of the century, things will get a little bit bulkier in the context statement. But so far, we're treating all of history equally, and I will include everything that I can uncover. And
thank you. Vice Chair, do you have a comment?
Yeah, just one last comment I have is I was actually thinking about the comment that Commissioner McManus made on utilizing the library. I think there's an opportunity there for dissemination if we're going to go back to dissemination. And maybe it doesn't look like a physical plaque, but is there an area of the library that we can designate with these historical statements and updates that the public can go and peruse at their leisure?
Yeah.
And also making that link or volume of data available also through the Libby site for the Sunnyvale Library. Again, thinking out of the box and, yeah. and thinking how we can utilize Sunnyvale resources for that dissemination. I think that should be part of the research as well. Thank you.
Go ahead.
On the question of ephemeral or places where it's no longer in the same location, I've always been interested in the question of what the longest operating family-owned businesses from various minority groups are in Sunnyvale. And I suspect that as one tries to trace them back, one would find them to have moved locations. And I think that there's definitely sort of a question of like, if there was a business that was important to the community that was operating for 80 years, but in multiple locations, or that the location is now something entirely different, I think that it would be good to try to find a way to honor that, even if it's just something as petty as a plaque or a exhibit at the Heritage Museum. I mean, it would be good to have it be known, basically.
Yeah. So how do we honor the business and not the building that necessarily the business was?
Exactly.
All the buildings the business was in. Yeah.
Especially if it's still, if there are any that are still operating yeah. for on a long enough timeline that it's
yeah.
relevant to this.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this can be a limitation of this historic preservation undertaking, is that we often are like, this is the building where, but for a lot of resources, including especially the kind we might uncover in our research, it's not like this is not the building, like these are the people, right? Yeah, so it's a great point, great question. And I mean, there are ways, communities find ways to honor these types of things, and we will be working to figure out what those will be.
Do we have any other comments or questions? Do you have any other specific questions for us that
Sarah, do you have any questions?
Yeah,
then let Sarah ask a question.
We have one that, Sarah Hahn. We had one question that came up in our discussion the other day as far as the potential interviewees, just kind of asking whether you had any suggestions for people that we would, or groups that we would contact. Yeah, there is a list that we have and the city has of potential groups that we've already identified, but if there's any individuals or groups to add to that list that might be beneficial for the study and for the oral interviews especially, we would welcome that input. Yeah. Don't have to have it now, but
if you think of it later, or if you're not comfortable mentioning individual right now, you're welcome to email one of us. My email is in the staff report. If it'll take you some time to think about it, or if you want to contact us later also, that's a possibility.
My neighbor is Japanese American. living here for more than 70 years, so probably would be the right person to talk with. I'll ask her and then I'll recommend her name to the committee.
Thank you. So on with that, if we don't have any more comments, I will open up the public hearing on this. Do we have any speaker cards?
Chair, we do not have any physical speaker cards nor online attendees. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So with that, I will close the public hearing. I will now ask for a motion to approve going forward as it's been presented to us.
As I understand it, there's no motion needed here. It was just a fact-finding mission to get your feedback and a discussion. And I think we had a robust one. So unless you have anything else to add, that would be the conclusion, I think, of all of our questions.
Okay, perfect. Then we will move on to the next item then, which is item number 25-1024 to approve the Draft Heritage Preservation Commission 2026 Master Work Plan. Do we have a staff report on this?
Yes, thank you. Good evening, commissioners and Mayor Klein. My name is Momo Ishijima, staff liaison to the Heritage Preservation Commission. Tonight, we have the Director of Community Development, Trudy Ryan, and also Principal Planner George Schroeder attending the meeting with us. So before we go into the work plan, I wanted to share with you that throughout the year, the study issue process has been under review, and you have participated in responding to surveys about how to improve the study issue process, as well as other boards and commission members and city council. And on October 21st, city council approved a new council priority project process. This replaces the former study issue and budget proposal process. The draft 2026 annual work plan that was published with the HPC agenda last week does not reflect the new council priority project process. So the draft work plan was revised, and there's a copy before you on the screen, which reflects the new process, as well as also, a hard copy, I believe, has been circulated to you. So I just wanted to go over quickly, share with you a presentation that was prepared by the Office of the City Manager to just briefly go through what the change is. So next slide, please. So again, on October 21st, the City Council adopted a new priority project process that replaces our former study issue process. So Council Policy 7.3.26, and also amended Council Policy 7.2.19 for the board and commission input process. So those two policies were revised, and I believe that the updated policies were shared with you from the city clerk via email on October 31st. Let's see. Some of the goals, overview of the goals with the change was that the structured method for identifying, prioritizing, and implementing new council priority projects was one of the goals, and the council priority project guides the city resources towards achieving council's strategic goals. So they wanted to streamline that process and to focus on being able to achieve those strategic goals. Next slide, please. So this is a timeline. So in the past, there was a process at the end of the year, typically in November, for study issue items to be brought to the commission, and there was a ranking process. But with the new priority project process, we don't call it study issues anymore, it's called priority projects. And each commission or board will be requested by staff if they want to have a discussion on a priority project at a public hearing, scheduled the Heritage Preservation Commission hearing. And the discussion will be held by the commission members, and they will vote, and it could be many votes, but ultimately they will vote on one priority project to recommend to council. And then that recommendation will be shared with the council members, and through the November to January timeframe, council members, each council member has up to three priority project proposals that they could bring up. And then in February, council holds a council priority projects workshop in which they will select, they will discuss and select the priority projects to move forward to. And during March and April timeframe, each of the departments that pertain to a priority project would be responsible of preparing a summary, an analysis, maybe a budget proposal for moving forward with the priority project. That will be taken in May to a budget workshop where the city manager will recommend council priority projects with funding and staff capacity. And there will be a discussion by the council. And then in June, with the budget adoption, council will have a final priority projects and list that they will adopt. And then between July and November, staff will be responsible for moving forward with each of the projects. So that's the timeline. Next slide, please. Oops, did we go? Oh, that's went too far. Yes, thank you. So the role for the Heritage Preservation Commission is that each fall, and it could be throughout the year as well, but each fall, staff liaison, so for Heritage Preservation Commission, it will be myself or other staff, will ask the commission if they would like to agendize on their November or December, I guess, agenda if they would like to discuss a priority project to vote for. And then if, but it says participation is optional, but if you decide to have that added to the agenda, we will add it to the agenda, and then there will be a discussion that will happen amongst the commissioners in selecting a priority project to recommend to the City Council. So that's the process. And then, yes, next slide, please. So forwarding ideas to council. After discussion, the board or commission may have majority votes. I'm repeating what we've already discussed. They have one idea that they will forward to the council. And we will take that vote and share it with the city manager's office, and they will include it. They will consider it. So it says here, the third bullet point is important. It is not guaranteed to move forward to the February workshop. So this idea that you recommend may or may not get placed on the list of projects that they may consider. Yes.
Thank you. So we get to vote on one idea that gets forwarded, but a person who's our liaison might take one of our ideas and also include it. So multiple of our ideas might actually get through.
That's certainly a possibility.
Okay. No, I just,
as an individual, you could talk to a council member and they could choose to add it.
Absolutely. So,
but essentially there's a sort of a running list of ideas and then it'll get narrowed down to three per council member.
Right. I'm just saying that if our council representative said, oh, there are two really good ideas, they voted on one, I also think the other one's really good, I'll incorporate it on my own list of things to add, they could do that. Right. Okay. It doesn't exclude it. It doesn't taint it. So it can only be whatever. Okay, great. Thanks.
Yeah. And ultimately, and I'll have a little bit more to say later, but it's exactly this. Any resident could come to any council member and with a good idea. And, you know, definitely there will be whittling them down to the three most important ideas for the year. But changing the process, and I know there's more discussion here, but just to give a quick overview, it's a lot of staff time was put in to do lots of write-ups on ideas that, because we only have a certain amount of staff bandwidth, we could never get across the line. So this is at least limiting that funnel to, you know, every council member getting potentially three ideas that will then have the full write-up and then conceivably be evaluated on whether or not we should expend additional resources to do those studies. So, but yes, you know, if you have an idea, talking to your liaison, coming to a council meeting, sending email to council@sunnyvale.ca.gov for all of us to see this idea, that's, you know, that's completely any resident's capable, you know, has that ability, as well as especially our commissioners. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Klein, for your input. So I think we can move on to the next slide. Oh, that's the last slide. Okay, so if you can go back to Mr. Mariano, if you can place the work plan. Yes, so this work plan has been revised to reflect the new process. So what's different here, it also looks truncated, but it's not that we can't have 12 meetings, but in the boards and commission policy, it was pointed out that the Heritage Preservation Commission's regular meetings are actually on odd months. And the even months are considered special meetings. We can have the special meetings, but we were directed by the city clerk to only list the regular meetings, which are odd months. So we have included the January and March meetings will be, we will hold it if there is a project that comes before you. And then in May, there will be a review of the recommended budget and the recognition of service for the outgoing commissioners. If there are any, I think we do have maybe one commissioner that may be at that time. And then in July, it will be the selection of the new chair and vice chair. And then the change here, instead of a ranking of the study issues, we will be asking the commissioners if they would like to agendize discussing the priority projects ideas at the November meeting. And then in the November meeting, we'll review the code of ethics and conduct of elected appointed officials, approve the 2027 annual work plan, and if requested, we will agendize the discussion and possible recommendation of one priority project idea to the city council. So that is the next year's work plan that we would like you to acknowledge and approve tonight. Do you have any questions?
Thank you, Momo. So just to be clear, if we wanted to have what used to be a study idea, a priority for the council for next year, we would have to meet in December and have that agendized for next month, correct? And we can have a discussion about what that should be.
For this year? Mm. Yeah, for this year, we actually have it agendized in today's meeting.
Oh, I see it.
Yeah, have it as item number 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have it listed.
Got it.
And we can, if you'd like, yeah.
Okay.
But they could also just say,
yeah, if you need time to consider it, then we can try to have a December meeting too.
Okay.
So.
What is the distinction between the regular meeting in January and the meeting to be held only if needed in March?
There's no distinction. Okay. It's both. Both are the same. If we would schedule a meeting if there is a project to come before you.
Okay. I guess then my feedback on this is that if the two meetings can have the same description in the work plan document for meetings that are functionally equivalent, in this case, the January and March meetings.
Mr. Mariano, could you change the description of January to say meeting to be held if only if needed, so that it January and March are the same? Regular meeting to be held only if needed. Maybe that's for both January and March.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moma, the presentation we just had for the update for the historical contributions, they said that there would be a administrative draft in March. I assume that means it would not be ready for us to look at in March. So that would be a later meeting, or should that be agendized as the March meeting at this point?
They will let us know when they're ready to schedule to come back to you with a like a draft report.
Okay.
If it is in March, we will schedule it in March. But if it's delayed and if it's April, then we'll have a special meeting. Okay. There is a very big possibility that the Tech Innovations final report will also be scheduled early next year. So
you had also alluded last meeting to another possible actual historical preservation project in the pipeline. Do we have a sense of when that might
have a timeline?
No timeline yet. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Do we have any other comments or questions? Okay, so with that, I will open public hearing on this specific item. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer. Raise your digital hand now or dial *9 on your telephone to indicate you wish to speak. And I will call on members of the public participating in person first, followed by remote participants, and speakers will have 3 minutes to speak. Do we have any speaker cards?
We do not, Chair, nor we have any attendees online to speak.
Thank you. I will then close the public hearing, and I'll ask for a motion from my colleagues to approve the draft Heritage Preservation Commission Master Work Plan for 2026.
I move that we approve the draft 2026 annual work plan for the Heritage.
And I second that.
Can we, recording officer, can you please conduct a roll call?
Sure. Vice Chair Sharma?
Approve.
Commissioner Johnson? Commissioner McManus?
Approved.
Commissioner Rowell?
Approved.
Commissioner Safair?
Approved.
And Chair Garrett?
Approved.
Chair, we have 6 yeses with Commissioner Rajkumar absent.
Thank you. So we will now move on to item 4, 25-1025, the annual review of code of ethics and conduct for elected and appointed officials. Do we have a staff report?
Thank you, Chair. Staff does not have a staff report for this, but would like you to consider acknowledging that each commissioner has reviewed the annual review of codes of ethics and conduct for elected and appointed officials.
Thank you, Momo. I guess we can just go down the row here. So Commissioner McManus, have you reviewed the...
I have.
Thank you. Commissioner Johnson?
I have reviewed and I acknowledge.
Thank you. Commissioner Sofair?
Reviewed and acknowledged.
Commissioner Rowall?
Reviewed and acknowledged.
Vice Chair?
Reviewed and acknowledged.
And I also have reviewed and acknowledged it.
Thank you.
So do we need to do any public hearing on this, or can we just move on to the next item?
Please move on to the next item.
Thank you. So we will then move on to item number 5, which is 25-1052, discussion of possible recommendation of one council priority project idea to the city council. Is there a staff report on this?
I don't have a staff report, but I do have a list of study items that have been deferred in the past that we can share with you on screen, if that can be a starting point for your discussion. But any ideas that you may recommend to the council doesn't necessarily have to be part of this list.
Thank you. Yeah, the list would be great.
Would you be able to zoom in? Thank you very much. And so we have here a few study issues, I'm going to call it study issues because that's what it was, that have been considered by the Heritage Preservation Commission a couple of years past. One is the update and review of the heritage resource inventory. That is an overall update, or comprehensive update. The second one is programs to encourage visitation of heritage and landmark resources. The next one is the expanding the role of the Heritage Preservation Commission and explore establishing a Japanese American incarceration memorial in Sunnyvale. So
I have a comment on that last one. Actually, the council did select that as a study issue. So you don't need to take any action. You don't need to include that if that's something that's of interest to you. Yeah.
Thank you.
If you have any questions about the items, staff's available to respond.
Do we have anybody on the commission that has any questions or initial thoughts?
Chair, my initial thought is that the second one here, the programs to encourage visitation of heritage and landmark resources, is made less valuable by how by the current state of the heritage resource inventory. And so I would be inclined to say that if we wanted to do the second one, eventually it would be more valuable after the resource inventory was updated.
Thank you, Commissioner Sofair. Vice Chair, you had a comment?
Yes, for CDD 25-04, expanding the role of the Heritage Preservation Commission, I feel like we're in a place now where I think this item should get priority. I think there's room to expand our roles on the commission. In addition, I think that there's room for this commission to partner with other commissions for potential opportunities, for example, the Arts Commission or the Library Commission. So I wanted to ask Mayor Klein if this is something that we can propose to City Council to see what their thoughts are to increase our scope.
So, and I can't remember all from the original write-up of this when I read it back in March, what all this entailed. Definitely, you know, you can take this to any council, and we're constantly looking at our boards and commissions on a yearly basis on what is entailed, you know, whether or not it's operation for the different boards and commissions. Like this year, we expanded the size of the Human Relations Commission. So from that standpoint, whether or not it needs to be a separate study or a priority, as we're trying to change all the naming, which is always difficult, you know, that's part of this process, is changing that. It is something that you could suggest. There's different ways of dealing with it other than just making it a study. So for me, just on my own, I was trying to pull up what the write-up was for each of these in the background. But conceivably, that is something that you could suggest, whether or not it makes it to each council member's top three or whether or not it's taken as a supplemental item by the boards and commission subcommittee, which we have on council, is something that it depends on how this goes forward. But it's up to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Commissioner Johnson, you had a comment?
Oh, yep. This was perfect, what you just said, Commissioner Sharma, because of a meeting we were at last night talking about the Orchard Heritage study, the study of the orchard area and the museum being on the property and what all that means. And then Vice Mayor Sell asked about, you know, my role in the commission, whether we could envision ourselves being on an operating orchard with, you know, fun things to do for the kids and the little gift shop and the history, the little I haven't told the mayor about this one yet, but I thought this would be the next new extension on the museum could be this acknowledgement of all these heritage resource sites. So anyway, we just think that there is so much opportunity for a commission like this to be out there among the community. And I just love the idea. So I think we should explore this one more.
Thank you, Commissioner Johnson. I would also agree with Commissioner Sofair on the importance of doing a comprehensive update of the resource inventory. It's been deferred for 7 years, and the inventory was last updated, in the 90s, I think. So it's well overdue. I mean, I feel like we should put that at the top as the single most important thing that's comes up year after year after year. But, you know, we are a commission. So do we have any other thoughts on what we should send to the council?
I do agree about the heritage resource inventory. It's so desperately in need, but it's just like it's this big, giant thing that doesn't ever get off the ground because it's so huge. So I kind of gave up on it.
Maybe if we keep pushing, we just, you know, we get that the lever underneath and get it going. Go ahead, Commissioner Sofair.
Is there a reason why the update and review has to be done in one fell swoop comprehensively? Is there maybe an alternative of designating a way to iteratively go through the now stale resource inventory and audit it in stages? Or for process reasons, is it significantly better to commit to doing it all at the same time?
I think because the period in which we would probably need to cover is greater now since the last update, I feel that if there was a direction to focus on certain maybe time periods or certain structures, types of structures, I think that would make it easier for the project to be budgeted. I don't I don't mean to be too vague, but
I mean, to that point, you know, there's with both the technology study and then this Asian American study, you know, there are opportunities for adding resources. So, I mean, that's doing a little bit of what you're talking about. It's, you know, an incremental improvement to the resource inventory. But I think there is value in doing a full review. And I understand that, you know, the bigger the project, the bigger the budget, and therefore the harder it is to get approval to do. But
yeah. It is true that there are incremental progress that's being made, but a comprehensive, you know, update it throughout the city is a little bit more difficult. Do you have anything to add?
Okay. I mean, is that the primary impediment to why this has been deferred so much? Is just that it really is such a big, expensive project?
I would only be speculating on why the council voted the way they did. There were many, many projects, and of the other ones that were associated with the Community Development Department, they found a stronger need for those studies. So I don't know that it's specific to that, but you know, seven council members might have had seven different reasons, but collectively they didn't rank it. Or they deferred it because they wanted to keep it on the list as opposed to drop it.
Commissioner Sofair?
Momo, do you know offhand whether CDD 1802 was for a review of existing resources to see if they should remain on the list, or if it was an update to add more things on the list, or if it was both combined?
Trudy's going to look up the study issue report, but I would think that it's both. That we would look at our current list and see if the integrity of the structure has been lost for potentially delisting. But I think the majority of the work would be to see if there are structures and properties that we could add to the list. So,
because I have seen a copy of the historic of the heritage resource inventory annotated and updated, a lot of those properties are just plain gone, been demolished.
Vice Chair?
From memory, I do recall that the last couple of years, the reason why this particular, I'll call it again, study issue, hasn't gone above the line is because there were several big capital projects with limited budget that just, you know, just took precedence. But I do recall my conversation with Council Member Mellinger that, you know, this is such a critical part of what the HPC does, that without this update, we're sort of flying a bit blind in what we're doing and just approving mostly operational things as they come up for permits. So I agree with my fellow commissioners that this is important. I also agree that if there's an opportunity to break up this, again, study issue into smaller parts, where it's a smaller portion of the budget to allow it to kind of go above the line, let's look at that too. I'm just talking off the cuff. I'm not even sure if that's possible, but 7 years is a very, very long time.
And let me just add, so in kind of going back through that, from an effort standpoint, you know, community development has a lot on its plate. And from a estimated cost, this was on the order of $450,000. So it was a bandwidth issue as well as a monetary issue. And understanding that updating the inventory is important, but it was seen as, okay, adding, you know, and this was last year, and conceivably council reevaluates this at the, you know, in the coming year. But ultimately it was those two things together was like, okay, can, you know, let's just drop this. We're not finding the bandwidth to take this on, and the price tag is far higher than expected. Definitely, if it was able to be broken down into smaller things, which would be positive, but not really sure if that's even feasible. So thank you for that, though.
I did want to also comment that in the staff report that was provided to the council, it was noted that staff could incorporate the update and review of the inventory into a future work plan once other studies were completed. And so that was kind of why the staff recommendation was, maybe it's time to let it sleep for a while.
With regards to the incorporation of other study issues into this, is would I be correct in supposing that part of that is the technology study and the context report and the recommendations for new heritage resources from those from those efforts?
Absolutely. Both those two studies, the tech study and the minority groups that you discussed this evening, could result in an update to the context statement and knowledge about other potential resources.
But it,
absolutely.
Presumably those won't result in any form of review of existing resources.
Correct. And then to one of your earlier questions, is it looking at the existing or is it adding new? It is both.
I feel like if we were going to go down the path of splitting this up so that we could get part of it done within the scope of a smaller project, I would argue for having a project recommendation. I forgot the exact phrase, one priority project of just the review and audit to assess the integrity and presence in its entirety of the items on the Heritage Resources inventory, and also whether there are categories in the Heritage Resource inventory where we have more structures representing that category than is really necessary. I don't know if it's the case in Sunnyvale, but certainly in some other cities in the Bay Area, there might be a kind of architecture that is represented in the Heritage Resource Inventory for that city in hundreds of buildings for reasons that are historical in nature, not so much in terms of the architecture, but in terms of a desire to maintain a social landscape that a desire which is no longer considered appropriate in the ways that it was applied back then. In that regards, I think I'm arguing for a sort of review and audit without the update element, focusing on the integrity of the existing of the structures and any sort of egregious overlap or overrepresentation, with the intent being to trim and narrow down the inventory so that it really is an inventory where everything on there exists in the form that the inventory thinks it does and is indeed important.
Thank you, Commissioner Safair. I agree. I was going to suggest breaking it up into the two different parts as well. And if we could do the review and audit as kind of an initial project, I think that could be helpful generally to the HPC, and deferring a comprehensive update to, you know, a future date when we can determine like what would be a good start date for new structures, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, that would be my, I would agree with that. Like, you know, we could send a project as to just do a review and audit of the existing list.
May I clarify that?
Please.
What Commissioner Soferi, you're suggesting is a review and audit of the existing list only, or did you mean that that we should review and audit other potential historical properties as well that are not on the list?
That we should review and audit the current list, the current what we have as our inventory, and which we know is out of date, and many of the structures may no longer exist, may no longer hold the integrity that they were on the list for.
Okay, so we have heritage resources, and we also have landmarks, and we also have heritage districts where, you know, an area is designated a district, for example, Murphy Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
So you would consider all of that, just like every...
I wouldn't expect that the landmarks and districts would have the same sort of failure case of not having the expected integrity. Certainly, Murphy Ave, as an example, is very actively being overseen, and I have absolutely no concerns about the integrity of the Murphy Ave Historical District. I was thinking just in terms of individual structures, though I don't know what exactly the scope of landmarks is, and where that, you know, like if there are plaques that are on properties that are supposed to be legible and in the view of the public, some of those I know aren't for one reason or another. And
mm-hmm.
That doesn't necessarily have to be in scope for such a project, but it is one of the things that could be. Whereas major monuments that are in common use, that doesn't seem necessary to incorporate into the project idea. Does that answer your question, Momo?
Thank you, yes.
Commissioner Johnson, you had a comment?
Yes. Excuse me. On the flip side of, you know, reviewing what we already have because it would be easier, I just want to say that I think it's more important that we save things that could potentially be going away because we're not paying attention. Those resources are going to exist on that list, and they're going to be demolished or not demolished. But I think there may be other things that we should be paying attention to that we, and I don't see the benefit of just doing the existing.
Commissioner Soferi, did you have anything else? I just noticed your mic was still on. So.
I think that personally, I find that knowing where we stand is the starting point for moving into the future. And even leaving that aside, I don't think we can, I think that it would be bad practice to move forward with adding a whole bunch of new properties without having any real systematic idea of what the current state of the heritage list is. If we have to split the work, I think we need to do the audit before we start adding more things.
Thank you, Commissioner Soferi. Do we have any other comments or thoughts on?
No, I'll support that as well. That, you know, at least we need to review what we have.
Okay.
At least, you know, start that as a small project in phases. At least we can review what we have.
Commissioner Chair.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point out this. I've asked Mr. Mariano to put the list on the screen right now. So the first page is the list of the heritage resources. The second page is a list of heritage trees. And the third page is a list of resources that have been removed from the list. And then the fourth and fifth page are the landmarks.
Okay.
With a little bit of a write-up on each one. So just wanted to bring this to your attention.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you. Vice Chair, you had a comment?
Yeah, I recognize the need to assess our inventory list as it currently stands. But I also want to be conscious that, you know, this does, you know, it's an ask of staff, right, for additional resources that, which I understand right now is very taxed. So I'm not sure operationally how we would even go about this, because it would entail taking an existing study issue and parsing it out to multiple parts. And then how do we go about, you know, I guess, operationally getting that approved and then getting additional budget for staff to be able to do that? I'm not sure who I have a question for, then, yeah. Whether it's staff or the mayor.
I do apologize. I was trusting that Momo was following your conversation, and I was looking at the study issues.
My question was basically operationally, how would we even go about this? Because I think what we're talking about is parsing an existing study issue into multiple parts, which would require a breakdown, I guess, of the study issue into several parts, and then getting a portion of it approved, hopefully through city council, and then getting additional resources through staff to be able to even start that. Because I just want to clarify, we operationally don't do anything on the existing
list. We pretend to have a lot of power.
Right. We would need staff.
Yeah. So you need to come up with a title that's descriptive of what you want evaluated.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the council ends up saying this is a something for priority for us to consider further, then we'll write up something, we'll figure out how much it costs. So we're not considering cost at this point. And then the next effort will be the city manager in consultation with the department directors saying, okay, these are the ones that we recommend to council to adopt as part of our work program and budget for the next year.
So I would propose that, thank you, Trudy. I would propose then with my fellow commissioners that maybe we just take some time at the next meeting and think about how we want to propose this in the next study issue, you know, timeframe, and figure out what that looks like, parsing this apart. It would give us some time to kind of look over the list, maybe visit the landmarks again, and figure out how we want to have, what we want to do, and have a spirited discussion at the next meeting.
So you're just suggesting we re-agendize this discussion for December.
We do not, I believe.
Yeah, we can have a December meeting. What I would advise is that if a motion can be made to agendize this item on the December meeting, then we'll hold it.
I'd like to move that we agendize this item for a December meeting.
I second.
Okay. Yeah, so before we do the motions, we do need a public hearing on this. So before we go to the public, just any further comments before I ask for public comment on this? No, okay. So we're going to open the public hearing on this specific item. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer and raise your digital hand now and dial *9 on your telephone to indicate you wish to speak. Recording officer, do we have any speaker cards?
Chair, we do not have any speaker cards nor attendees online.
Thank you. I will then close the public hearing. And now I will ask for a motion to re-agendize this for the December meeting. Oh, there you go.
Chair, I'd like to move that we re-agendize this for a December meeting.
I second.
Recording officer, can you please conduct a roll call vote on the motion?
Sure. Commissioner Safair?
Aye.
Commissioner McManus?
Aye.
Commissioner Rawal?
Aye.
Commissioner Johnson?
Yes.
Chair Garrett?
Yes.
And Vice Chair Sharma?
Yes. Aye.
Chair, we have a majority vote of 6 with Commissioner Rajkumar absent.
Thank you.
The motion is, passes.
So we will move on to the non-agenda items. This is a portion of the agenda for oral reports and announcements by the commissioners and staff to share information. Do the commissioners have any non-agenda items or comments? Does not seem so. Staff, does staff have any non-agenda items or comments?
Yes, I believe Mr. Schroeder has a comment to share with the commission.
The commissioners and mayor. Well, I have some very bittersweet news to pass on. I'm going to be leaving the city of Sunnyvale, and I've taken a position with the city of Mountain View. But it's to drop that.
I cry every time
it's,
you
said that. I know it's our rival city, but it's really been a pleasure working with you all. I was your liaison for about 5 years, and it was really been a pleasure to get your input over the years and work with you on study issues and other projects that have come your way. And I just wish you continued success, and you're in great hands with Momo. She's been doing an excellent job and will continue to do great work. So again, appreciate you working with me throughout the years, and wish you all the best of luck here. Thank you.
Thank you, George.
Congratulations, George. We'll miss you.
Miss you too. Thank you.
Don't be a stranger.
Yes.
No. So is that all the staff non-agenda items?
Yes, I don't have any other items to share with you tonight. Thank you.
The mayor has a quick comment.
So it was mentioned last night that we were actually looking at the long-term usage of the Heritage Orchard and the management of that, as well as conceivably the museum, and what, you know, from kind of the heritage usage of the community center site and between the orchard and as well as also the apricot orchard, the operation of the cherry orchard that's next to the tennis center, and conceivably what operate and how that operations and how cities have done that in different ways, whether or not it's a private entity, whether or not it's a public entity and making it available to residents to visit from a heritage orchard standpoint. So I would recommend that you take a look at that study session from last night if you get a chance. There will also be outreach meetings. Let me see if I can find it very quickly. Outreach meetings coming up, I'll say at the beginning of the year, and I'll make sure staff gets that to you for you to take part as that discussion continues. But it was not specific to heritage, but definitely trying to figure out from a city standpoint how we can best manage those heritage orchards and save them for future generations. So trying to add more education, trying to add more public access conceivably, and ultimately kicking off a series of additional outreach that happens that should be coming back to council, I think in March, if I remember from the study, but we'll get you those dates. Thanks.
Thank you, Mayor. A quick question for you, Mayor. Do those orchards still produce much fruit?
Yes. Yes. So, so both the cherry orchard, which used to be Olson property next to the tennis center, as well as the apricot orchard, they still produce. It varies year to year depending upon conditions and efforts. Definitely, there were staffing efforts this year, I heard, and so it's trying to manage those and trying to figure out what's the best in a modern term, what's the best operational model. You know, conceivably using the fungicides that have been used for the last 50 years might not be the best thing. You know, what part of the discussion was whether or not to make it organic or certified organic. So there's lots of kind of components of that, you know, and it's open space that really is for private use now. Now it's maintaining it, trying to figure out, are there ways to kind of pivot from that standpoint? But I would suggest that you take a look at that study session if you get a chance.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks.
The next section is the information only reports and items. I don't think we have any tonight. So with that, I think it is time for adjournment. This meeting is now adjourned at 9:00. And I want to thank everyone for the participation in tonight's meeting.